It's time for the Hour of Power,
where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word pray to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad, and our guest this morning is Pastor Scott Rogers. How are you this morning, sir?
I'm good. How are you, Monica?
I'm blessed and highly flavored there with his favor, you know.
There you go. Good. Good to see you today.
You too, sir. Thank you for joining us this morning. I always like when you come. You always bring good word, good bread. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, and you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and I'm not even going to lie to y'all and say we will get it posted. Sure. Usually it's Miss Tina. Okay. Most all time, it's Miss Tina that does that for us.
It's that royal we.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't want to mislead anybody. And Miss Tina will get that posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Spain's Construction and Remodeling out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. If you would like some remodeling done or you want to build a new house, I want to encourage you to reach out to Spain's Construction. Quality work by a company with Christian values. We haven't picked out a book yet. We're slacking. I'm sorry. We're slacking. We'll get that picked out soon. Yeah, we've got a cat. We just can't. It's just hard to pick one, y'all, because there's so many good ones. But go ahead and like, share, and comment that, and we'll put you on the list, and we'll get it to you. I think I covered it all.
All right, that sounds great.
Would you pray to start us out, sir?
I sure would. Let's start with a word of prayer. Gracious God, today as we just thank you for the day that is, it's a day unlike any other. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share together this morning your word, your heart, and may it cause us, oh God, to take a few more steps closer to you. So we pray that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. I like your title.
Faith Next Steps. Yeah, so we've... I've been here now. It's hard to believe. I've been in Elk City over 4 years. I'm in now through my fifth summer, actually. I know we're trying to hold on to a few summer days, but they're pretty much over. I wish the heat was over. And if I was to have taken a poll of the people here in Elk who've known me, and I said, would you consider me a risk taker or not? I would score way high on the risk taker scale. Okay, I don't mind taking a chance here or there. If there's something that I think, you know, hey, let's give this a shot, I'm okay with giving it a shot. And if it works, great. And if it doesn't, okay, well, just don't do that again. Let's do something else, you know. But the truth is, I certainly wasn't always like that. In fact, I would even tell you, I was pretty risk averse. Most of my life. I don't want to rock the boat. Don't want to take any chances. And some of that, simply my personality, I don't mind taking a leadership role, but I'll, again, people watch this now, they're probably like, who is he talking about? I'm not a big fan of conflict, though I will deal with it. Now, shoot, sometimes I cause it. But the reality is I just wanted – I don't like it when things just don't go at an even keel. I'm a pretty ordered guy, you know. Generally, I'm on time, things like that. I mean, just anything not to cause ripples in the water. And as I've thought about that over the years, and especially since, again, probably over the last 10 years of my life, I've been almost the opposite of that. There's reasons for that. That's way longer, and that's a whole nother program. You know, if you had a psychology program, that would be much more the place to talk about all that. Just in my own life, but as I've reflected on what has made me the risk taker I am today versus what I was before, and when I really break that down, it really comes back to one word: fear. I'm going to just say this, and I'm going to get this out on the table here 2 minutes or 3 minutes into today's lesson. Everyone has fear. And the people who say, I don't fear anything, they fear a lot of things. They just don't admit to it. We all fear something. Some people fear spiders. Some people fear, you know, having to eat a certain food. Some people fear, I have to spend the weekend with my mother-in-law, you know. And, of course, I mean, the big one, of course, is a lot of people fear death itself. Fear is a real thing. Now, I will say to you, I don't think all fear is bad. Like, it does remind me not to cross the street without looking both ways. It does remind me not to touch that pen without a pot holder, which I have scars to prove that I have done, because I like to cook and I forget to use a potholder. Like, oh yeah, ow, you know. So a little bit of that is one thing, but I'm talking about the fear that becomes paralyzing. The fear that says, just keep status quo, status quo. Because if you get too high or too low, others are going to expect things of you. There might be things that open up to you that you're not ready for. So if you just keep things on the level, maybe you can just sort of skate through. I like to watch, my wife and I really, really like to watch a lot of the Gordon Ramsay cooking shows. I don't know why. You know, the shows where he has all the competitions and stuff. And you're probably 3 or 4 or 5 weeks into the show, and he'll call somebody out, and you're like, I didn't even know they were on the show. Because they've kind of played middle of the road. You know, they didn't want to cook the best dish because they didn't want to set the expectation. And, of course, they want to cook the worst dish because they want to go home. But kind of skated through in the middle. That's where I wanted to be, okay? That's safety. That's no risk. People kind of like you. They don't expect a lot of you. You know what I mean? It's a place to be. And the more I have looked at that, the more I've realized that some of that came from some initial thoughts I've had, even about my own faith. I've never known a time in my life where I didn't have faith. I grew up, I'm a guy who grew up in the church. You know, my mom was at the church every time it was open, kind of thing. So I've been in church my whole life. And you know, I loved the Bible stories. Whenever I was in youth group, you know, they always wanted me to be on their team for Bible trivia, you know, kind of thing. There's never been a time in my life that I didn't know that Jesus loved me. And I'm thankful for that. Certainly thankful for that. But there was also this other part of Jesus that I often struggled with. So the passage we're going to look at this first half of the show is one of those passages. It comes from Matthew chapter 14, 22 through 33. And if you're looking that up, it's the very famous story where Jesus comes to them walking on the water. I have preached a number of sermons about Jesus coming out walking on the water, okay? I've preached a ton of sermons about, you know, Peter stepping out of the boat and walking towards Jesus, and then, of course, him seeing the wind, which is a whole nother sermon in and of itself, by the way, but seeing the things around him, getting scared, giving into his fear, right? Falling in the water, Jesus picking him up. And then that last line where Jesus takes him, picks him up and says, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And I have, when I look back, I've struggled with that passage for a long time. Because I have to be honest with you. I love Jesus, and Jesus, I know, loves me, but I've always felt Jesus to be maybe a little condescending in there. A little disappointed, maybe. Like, "You have little faith." Almost like scolding. And I'm not saying Jesus doesn't need to do some correcting and stuff, but I want to look at that passage a little closer. Because I think this is probably part of my problem. So Jesus is coming out to them, right, on the water, and the disciples are fearful. Of course they are, right? They even think, "Oh my gosh, there's a ghost." And he's coming out to them, and he says, you know, "Hi, you know, it's me." And they're just flabbergasted because they've been pushed away from the shore by the wind, the wave, the storm. And so here he comes walking on water, and they're just like, people just don't do that. I mean, as I talked about this not too long ago at the church, how many of you have walked on water? How many of you seen somebody walk on water? Okay. So we're all on the same page here, right? So you can imagine their fear to me is founded. Like, what is this? And of all people, good old Peter. You know, every time I say Peter, I go, bless his heart. Because he speaks the things that you want to speak, but you're not sure if you can. And he says, "Lord, you know, if it's you, tell me to come out to you on the water." Now, here's the thing. This is not in the Bible. I want to make that very clear. Parenthesis, not in Scripture. I have this feeling that Peter's thought bubble shows up. Like a comic book, you know, thought bubbles. And it says, "I'm going to tell him this," and he's going to go, "No, you don't walk on water, you know." He's going to say, "Just stay there, I'm coming to you." I don't think Peter expected Jesus to go, "Well, in my best Oklahoma, Jesus, well, come on." "Well, come on." I could just imagine Peter's eyes, can't you? You ever said something outlandish thinking somebody was going to respond one way, and then they go, "Okay. What? Yeah. What?" You know? And I can only imagine his feelings. He's like, "Well, I guess I said it. I have to do it. Jesus said, come on out. I mean, surely I'm going to start over," and he's going to be like, no, stop, you know, just giving you a hard time, you know, hey, buddy, you know. But he doesn't. Peter throws his foot over the side of the boat, and it lands on the water. And then he takes his other foot. And all of a sudden, he's standing on the water, just as if it was dry ground. Push the pause button for just a second. Not you. Not you, Tina. That's crazy, right? I mean, to me, that's nuts. People don't walk on water, right? What if you were the other 11 on the boat? What are you thinking right now? I think I'd have two reactions. One, I can't speak. It's so crazy, right? And wouldn't you feel like maybe you want to try it too?
Yeah.
A little bit, right? But none of them do they? None of them ever try. All right, unpause. So Peter's on the water. And he starts taking steps towards Jesus. Now, I have preached on that part of the text before, for sure. Yeah. And then, of course, the part we probably all know. We've all heard sermons on this part. Peter begins to fail. Scripture says he sees the wind. Now, again, how do you see the wind? Whole nother conversation. But he sees the wind, he sees the waves, realizes he's in the middle of the storm, and he realizes underneath his feet is, you know, the Sea of Galilee. And kerplunk, he falls in. A lot of sermons, even sermons that I have preached, have focused in on Peter's failure. Well, if he just kept focused on Jesus, he wouldn't have fallen in, right? And then, of course, usually followed up by, he yells, "Lord, save me." Jesus saves him. It's a pretty little scene, right? And it is. I mean, Jesus does. Jesus really does save him. But it's the next last. It's the next line. Remember I told you a few minutes ago that's a struggle with. Is he picks Peter up out of the water, puts him on the boat, says as he hugs him, embraces him, and he says, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And so I've always been left to ask the question, should Peter have done this or not? Because in a lot of ways, I read this text as in Peter disappointed Jesus. And you know, I could, growing up, I could make my parents angry. They could make me angry. We loved each other, still do. I have great relationships with my parents. But the one thing I didn't want ever was for my parents to be disappointed in me. I could handle anger or frustration or that. I mean, I get all that. But disappointment. And I know that I have heard many a sermon about how we disappoint Jesus. And usually using this text, because Jesus says, "You have little faith, why do you doubt?" So for a long time, I've struggled with this particular passage for this very reason. It's one of the reasons I think I didn't take a lot of risks, because if you take a risk and you fail, you might disappoint someone. And in the case of faith, you might disappoint Jesus. So I want to be like the 11. Just stay in the boat. Play it safe. You know? Be close to Jesus, but not out there on the water with Jesus. Because he doesn't say to them anything. He didn't go, "Hey, boys, why don't you come out here?" He just speaks to Peter, who took the risk. And you know, there's also a subplot to this. I think another fear that's very founded is, what if you succeed? Because if you succeed, then there's going to be things expected of you. I mean, imagine how these disciples respond to Peter from this point forward. Have any of them walked on water? Have any of them been literally at a point where Jesus picked them up out of the water because they did? I mean, no. Kind of puts them in a different place, doesn't it? What about fear of success? I've heard sermons on that too. But it was about 10 years ago. I was doing a senior adult Bible study at my last church. And one of the things that we found that we really liked doing was we would watch some of the, you know, Bible movies sort of things. And we talk about it. That's what we did. And the movie The Gospel of Matthew came out. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. It's not really even a B-level movie. It's pretty poor acting, and it's like a C-level movie, maybe. And they try to go line by line. So literally, you have the verse numbers as they're doing the action. It's okay. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's a little cheesy, not going to lie. But we were in the 14th chapter. We'd gone, I mean, a number of weeks. We did about two chapters a week. And I, for whatever reason, I can actually remember this because of what I'm going to tell you in a moment. I hadn't prepped that week, so I hadn't pre-watched it. You know, I knew Matthew. I knew where we were going. No big deal. You know, I can teach on that. And so I showed the video, just like I did every week. And we came to this scene, and I want to describe it for you. Jesus comes walking out. Oh, it's a ghost. You know, terrible acting. Oh, you know, it's a ghost. And Peter says, Lord, if it's you, have me come out. Tell me to come out there. And Jesus says, well, come, you know. And that shows Peter walking out and walking on the water. And then it's probably one of those cheesy versions ever. Ooh, as he falls in the water. It's really hilarious. But I'm watching this. I'm like, okay, yeah. And so the character, the person plays Jesus, the guy walks up. Jesus walks up to him, picks him up, puts him back in the boat. All this I've just described, right? Throws his arms around him. And he's just laughing. Jesus is just chuckling. Yeah. And he says, oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? Almost like a proud parent. Oh. You remember when you learned to ride a bike, or maybe you taught your kid or grandkid to ride a bike, and the first time you let go and they went about 5 feet, then they fell over, but you're like, you almost did it. I'm so proud of you. You took a risk. You tried. And then you help them do it again? That was the Jesus I saw on that screen. And for the first time in my life, and I've been a preacher almost 15 years at that point, I saw this text completely differently. Instead of Jesus scolding or being disappointed about taking a risk, Jesus encouraged it. Jesus encouraged Peter. He's like, it's almost like he says, you did it, dude. You took steps on water. Why are we so focused on Peter's failure instead of the fact that Peter actually did it? Mm-hmm. See, we love to pick on Peter. I'm a preacher. Picking on Peter is one of the things they teach you in preacher class. It's easy to do, right?
Peter'd pop off.
That's right. You know, it's easy to do. But how often do we focus on Peter's successes?
Come on.
The dude walked on water. Have I walked on water? No. Have you walked on water? No. Peter has. And Jesus, instead of being disappointed like, dude, why did you doubt? I can't believe you. You're just ridiculous. No. I saw on that screen the Jesus I really know. And it's changed my whole outlook on this particular passage for the last 10 or 15 years. He wraps him up. And he says, oh, you have little faith. Oh, why did you doubt? He's just like a proud parent.
He almost made it to me.
And see, that makes more sense. Mm-hmm. That's the loving, grace-filled, merciful God who calls us to take some next steps. Did Peter ultimately fall in the water? Yeah, he did. But he took some steps getting there. Does it mean that every time we take a faith step that we're not going to at some point stumble? Of course we are. But we have a God who is loving and forgiving and calls us to those next steps, encourages us along the way. We spend so much time as humanity talking about each other's failures instead of seeing where God sees our successes. Because that's what fear does. Fear focuses the negative. Fear focuses on us seeing the mistake. Why is it you and I can have 100 conversations and they all be positive, but the first time maybe one of us said something cross to the other, that's all we remember? Am I wrong? Go to your favorite restaurant 30 times, and it's your favorite restaurant on planet Earth, and the one time the service is bad, I'm not going back. You know this, right? This is not uncommon. We do this in relationships. We do this all the time. do we continue to focus on just the negative? I'm not telling you that that's not part of that story. In fact, it is an important part of that story because it reminds me that when we take a faith step, sometimes we fail and Jesus is there to pick us up and save us. Mm-hmm. That's important. Don't get me wrong. That's an important part of that story. But sometimes we fail to see the successful part of that story. I think about every person who's faced addiction who one night didn't give in to their addiction. We don't celebrate that. We talk about their relapse. Mm-hmm. We don't celebrate the night that a family reconciles over dinner. We just talk about the days they fought. Mm-hmm. We don't celebrate mm-hmm. the actions of God. We don't celebrate faith's next steps. We get so focused on fear and disappointment and failure. I'm not telling you that's not part of our story. It's 100% part of mine. It's a part of the human condition. Don't get me wrong. I'm not speaking that that doesn't exist. In fact, I'm going to tell you it absolutely exists. Mm-hmm. But if we only see Jesus as this judgmental, angry, why did you doubt? Which is the way I'd always heard it. Mm-hmm. Well, that causes me to have fear, and fear is not faith. Come on. But when I hear Jesus say, I know you can do it. Dadgummit, you almost did it, Dad. You took steps on the water. You took some steps. I'm so proud of you. Don't doubt. You don't have to doubt. You can do it. That resonates with me. That gives me permission to take another step. Come on. It gives us permission as humanity to take another faith step and another and another. And ultimately, that's what will deepen our faith. Alongside a Christ who wraps his arms around us and says, oh, you have little faith. Why'd you doubt? You can do this. That makes more sense to me. That's true faith. That's faith's next steps. Now, when we come back after the break, we're going to take this one step further. Another Peter story. Another success. But this time, so this first one was really about overcoming my individual fear. How do you overcome it when it seems like everything's against you? How do you take a next step then when everything says no and you know the right answer is yes? We're going to talk about that after the break. Okay.